Well, let me add my welcome to those that you've already received. If you are a visitor or guest, my name is Tom. Whether you're catching us here, whether you are catching us through the Christian Assembly Los Angeles app or online or otherwise, great to be with you. Guys, we want to give you my shout out for the men's retreat. 75% of the spots are already full, so you don't want to snooze on that. We jump in and we continue week number 3 of our lessons from Africa. When I was in Kenya for this recent trip, one of the phrases that people would use to greet one another is actually a Swahili phrase, and it's Buena Asafiwe, which means praise the Lord or God be praised. That's what it means. Now, I learned this, but then I was traveling from the part of Kenya where I learned it to a different part of Kenya, and I was meeting someone new. It was a woman. Her name was Minnie, and she was going to be our host for a few days. So I decided that I would make a great first impression on Minnie. I mean, she's expecting that I'm just another American traveler, but I'm about to blow her doors off with being the most culturally savvy traveler that she has ever met. So whenever I met Minnie, I said with a big smile on my face, I gave her the greeting I had learned. Buena Safiwe is what I say to her. And I say it with a big smile, and she looks shocked. Now, when she looked shocked inside, I had a little dialogue with myself. I said, I know. You should be shocked. Because I just blew your mind. You thought I was just another white guy, but I'm a white guy from LA, so I am multiculturally savvy. And so she looks at me, and I said, you know, she said, do you know what you just said? And I said, yeah, I know what I just said. I said, praise the Lord. And she replied and said, oh, that's what you were trying to say. Now, I look shocked, and she's probably having an internal dialogue with herself. And I said, well, what did I actually say? And she said, you greeted me with a really big smile, and you said, God is dead. And inside, I thought, this is a very strange pastor indeed, that he would come with that greeting. Apparently, Buena Asafiwe and Buena Safiwe are very different phrases. They mean very different things. So much for my great first impression, right? One of the things that most struck me about my time in Africa was the power of our words that we say one to another. But not only the power of our words that we say to each other, but also the power of the words that we say to God. In other words, the power of prayer. And so we're going to consider that, but before we do, let's pray. God, it's fitting that we pray, that we say words to you now. And even now, you don't need to just listen to me pray. You can say your own prayers to God. So God, we ask, would you speak to us through your word as we come to it? Would you mark our mind and our heart, our will, our emotion? Would you deepen our affection for you? For those that don't know you, that are within the sound of my voice, however they might be listening to this, I pray that they would come to know you. For those that know you, would you teach us and deepen our motivation to know you in prayer? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On your way in, hopefully you got this little bulletin. If you're watching online, the notes are there for you as well. You can go ahead and click on it to see it. And for those that are here, you can just flip it open. The scriptures are there as well as some teaching notes that will help us track together this weekend. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple stories throughout our time together, but you have to understand that when I'm telling these stories, I don't tell these stories as kind of idle tales to keep the message interesting. When we tell the stories of God at work, we are actually building up the faith of one another, and we're beating back the darkness. In fact, Revelation 12:11, speaking about believers' battles with Satan, says that they triumphed over Satan by the blood of the Lamb and and the word of their testimony. In other words, the stories that they tell of how they trusted God and God came through in a powerful way. Psalm 22:22 says this, I will tell my people what you have done. I will praise you in their assembly. And so I know that not everyone who is here, not everyone who is listening to this is a Christian. And I am so grateful for you if that's you, that God continues to draw you into kind of the spirit and the atmosphere, the orbit of Christian Assembly Church as you try to figure out what you believe about Jesus. And I want you to know that you can be here, belong here, be welcomed here before you even figure out what you believe. In fact, I would say the very best place to figure out what you believe is somewhere like this, where you're going to rub shoulders with people who know what they believe and why they believe it. And you're going to get to hear the stories of God at work. But let me speak to those of us who are Christ followers. When you tell your stories of what God is up to in your life, both in the past and right now, that is your testimony. And what I want you to hear is that your story is the key that God can use to unlock someone else's prison. There might be someone imprisoned right now, and you hold the key. God can use your story to give them hope and renewal and strength and even faith. When I was at the Living Room campus in El Dorette, the new one that was just built and opened up on February 1st of 2019, it's simply a gorgeous piece of land. I mean, it's really a stunning piece of land. It's a little over 8 acres. It's gently kind of slopes upward. That day we were there, it was a great breeze, and there's massive trees, great variety of trees, super tall, that provide a lot of shade. There's a lot of birds that kind of come and are there as well. And when we were driving towards this piece of land, we passed some really quite nice developments that are being developed and homes are being built. And I had this thought. I thought, how in the world did they end up with this piece of land? Because this piece of land in this part of the city of El Dorette, surely this is a developer's dream. Well, here's how it happened. The U.S. and the Kenyan board of the Living Room were meeting in Kenya, and they were dreaming, they were thinking about and kind of dreaming together about the idea of expanding to a second campus. They had made the decision to step out in faith, trusting that God would provide for this second campus. And so they gave the green light to begin to look for land in the outskirts of the city of El Dorette. El Dorette's a fast-paced, kind of growing city, and they were going to be nearby if they could get land there, near a new hospital that was being built, which they thought would be helpful as well. So they prayed in the morning once they made that decision, felt like God was leading them to step out in faith, to expand to a second location. They prayed and they said, God, would you please open up the right piece of land for a new place to care for the least of these in Jesus' name. Now, hopefully, you're going to see a picture of three women. You'll see Julie is there on the far left, and then Kate, and then Janet is on the far right. So they pray the prayer, God, could you please open up the right piece of land? They pray that in the morning. That afternoon, a woman by the name of Kate Riley, who's in the center of the pictures there, calls the Living Room saying that she had some chairs that she wanted to donate to the Living Room Ministries. And I got the sense when they were telling us this story that Kate and her husband and this piece of land were a little bit famous. It was well known for its gardens and well known for its trees, but Kate's husband had passed away a little bit ago, and so she was there. Her extended family was in Kenya. So she calls and says, hey, listen, I have some chairs, and I don't know, I've heard the good work that you all do, and I don't know if you would find any use for these chairs. And the woman who took the call was Janet Boyd, who is on the Kenyan board. She's up there on the far right of the picture. She fielded the call about the possible donation. She was there as part of the board, as they prayed, God, would you open up the right piece of land? And so she begins to make some small talk just about the donation, and she asks her why she's thinking about getting rid of the chairs, and Kate shares about her husband's recent death and that she had decided to move back to London to be closer to her extended family. And then Janet Boyd gets this little Holy Spirit prompting, and she said she just had a sense that said to her, ask her about the land. So Janet inquired, "Oh, well, what about the land? Do you have plans for it?" And Kate didn't have plans figured out yet. And she said, "Well, why are you asking?" And she said, "Well, actually, we were even this morning praying that God would help us find the right piece of land." And so from that conversation, the negotiations began, which allowed them to acquire this prime piece of real estate. You have a step of faith, a heartfelt prayer amongst believers in the morning, an unsolicited phone call about a donation of chairs, a woman paying attention to the Holy Spirit's prompting, ask her about the land. All of that happened on the same day to result in the living room being able to acquire the land. Jesus says it this way in Matthew 21, verse 22. "If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." It seemed everywhere that I went, I saw or heard testimonies about the power of prayer. And all of these prayer testimonies got me praying, "Lord, I want my prayer life to grow. Specifically, I want my intercessory prayer life to grow. And what I mean by that, when we use that word intercessory, it's the things, the requests that you make to God. God, I want to see you move in this specific way. Now, there's lots of parts of prayer. Confession is part of prayer. Thanksgiving is part of prayer. There's lots of different components to prayer. But I want to focus in, not on confession or thanksgiving or adoration, but for this message, I want to focus in on our prayer requests, the things that we are asking God to do something about or do something with or bring about some form of breakthrough. And so what I want to do with the remainder of our time is I want to walk you through a few things from God's words that are prayer blockers, things that will inhibit power in your prayer life, so that you can see if any of these exist in your prayer life, and if so, you will be equipped to remove one of these four different obstacles so that you can grow in your prayer life as well. The very first obstacle is a simple one. It's not praying. And it seems almost too elementary to start here, but the reality is we will never see prayers answered that we don't pray, right? The scriptures tell us in Philippians 4:6, "Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. With thankful hearts, offer up your prayers and requests to God." Corrie Ten Boom once said it this way, "Any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be carried around as a burden." And as I read that and I thought about that, I thought, you know, there are things that I've carried around as a burden because I didn't really stop and pray. I didn't really do that. I carried way too many of my burdens way too long simply because I did not pray. And the truth is, it's not just looking back. See, when life kind of punches you in the mouth a little bit, I can spend too much of my time thinking about what to do or even talking with my friends about what do they think I should do and too little time actually praying to God, asking Him what to do. In fact, in one area of Africa where Christianity began to spread a number of years ago, they told us that the new followers of Christ were zealous about setting aside time to pray, and they would walk off into the kind of wild thickets there, and they would pour out their hearts to God early in the morning and thanksgiving and requests before they would go to work. And after some time, when they would do that for a while, the spots would become well-worn, and there were paths that would be created to their places of prayer. Typically, they would walk, kind of under a shade of a tree to just be protected from the heat of the early morning as the sun would begin to come up. But because of that, because those paths became well-worn, eventually your prayer life was made public to everybody else in the surrounding area, in the village as well. Because if you began to neglect your prayer life, it would soon be noticed by others because the grass would begin to regrow on your prayer path, right? Because no one was walking to your spot anymore of prayer. And believers in that area would gently and lovingly remind those in neglect of prayer. They would just say, "You know, the grass grows on your path." Let me encourage us, CA, don't let the grass grow on your prayer path. The first obstacle is not praying. The second one is unbelief. God's word tells us that we're not just to pray, but we are to pray believing. All of the world religions exhort people to pray, but it is only in the Bible that people are told they need to believe as they pray. That's a unique distinction of Christianity. This is the radical concept of the Bible, to not just believe that God exists, but to trust Him. We're specifically told to believe when we pray, which means that it must be possible to pray and not believe. It must be possible to say a prayer and you're saying it, but you're not believing anything as you're saying it. And if I'm honest, there have been many times in my life when I prayed because I thought I should, but it wasn't really a believing prayer. James 1, verses 5 to 7 says this: "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord." Now, I was not there the day that the living room board, the U.S. and Kenyan board, prayed for God to provide a piece of land. But let me tell you my guess. My guess is the prayer didn't sound like this. And I'm saying this because I know the Kenyan leaders there. The prayer didn't sound like this: "Lord, would you open up a piece of land for us to expand to a second location? But Lord, if you don't want to, of course, you don't have to do that. And come to think of it, Eldoret is growing quite rapidly and land is getting in pretty high demand. And we could see why it might be a tough challenge in this booming economy right now for you to provide a piece of land. And come to think of it, I once had a friend who prayed for land and he didn't get any land. So maybe you're not in the land allocation business anymore today, Lord." You think about your own prayers. I've been taking an honest look at my own prayer life recently, and if I'm honest with you, there are some things, when I pray for it, I believe. I believe it. And there are other things when I pray, I say the words, but my heart's not in it. And you know why my heart's not in it sometimes? Because I'm afraid to be disappointed. And maybe you're like me. And here's the journey that I'm personally on with God right now in my own prayer life. I basically believe now that there are two options. Option number one is this: I will pray unbelieving prayers, not really expecting anything to happen, so that I protect myself from disappointment when nothing happens. That's one option. The other option is I will pray believing prayers, pouring out my heart and desire out to God. But then when I do that, I'm opening up my heart to disappointment if my prayers aren't answered in the way that I can make sense of. Now, here's the thing. On one hand, you have the unbelieving but never disappointed Tom, and that's much safer to me. But if I become that, then I'm always going to be left with this haunted feeling of, but what if I had just gone for it? What if I had just been unreserved? What if I had laid it all out there for the Lord? What if I didn't hold back? What if I didn't let skepticism rule in my life? What would have happened? The other option is for me to become the believing but sometimes disappointed and confused Tom, which doesn't have all the answers about why everything unfolds exactly the way it is. Now, that's a much more dangerous version for me. But it's not just more dangerous for me. It's more dangerous for me because I might get disappointed. But it's not just more dangerous for me, it's also more dangerous for the dark spiritual forces, because they get a version of Tom that is going to see some breakthrough moments and is going to see things happen that this version of Tom would have never seen. Self-protected version of Tom will not see the breakthrough moments that the Tom that says, you know, I'm just going to go for it. Look, when it comes to prayer, you have two options. You're either going to be afraid of stepping out, or you're going to be afraid of missing out. You're either going to be afraid to step out because you're like, well, I prayed one other time for that and it didn't happen, or I had a friend and they prayed and it didn't happen, or I can't fully explain why that person's prayer wasn't answered and the other person's prayer was answered, and I don't know, and so I'm just going to kind of stay here stuck in my confusion. You can either be afraid of stepping out, or you can be afraid of missing out. And you think about what God did with this board of believers from the U.S. as well as Kenya that prayed. They knelt on the ground together and they prayed there in Kenya. And think about it just for a moment. The story of that prayer is now being told on the other side of the planet to encourage the body of Christ. Unbelief is the second obstacle that we have to confront when you pray. Are you praying prayers of unbelief? Are you praying prayers that are safe because you don't want to be disappointed, because you're not certain how to explain all of what God is doing in your life? If so, like me, I want to encourage you, take a look at your life and say, God, help me to pray believing prayers. Help me to be willing to be the dangerous version, trusting that you're big enough to handle my disappointment, to be the dangerous version that will also see breakthrough and see change come in ways that I never would have seen had I kept with my unbelieving prayer. The third obstacle that we run into in our prayer life, according to Scripture, is what I would call a divided life. There's a lot more to prayer than just what you say to God. We can often divide our lives into sections or categories, right? So we could talk to each other and we talk about, you know, our work life. So you have a work life and then you have a school life. Maybe you have a dating life and your family life, your financial life, the nutrition and exercise part of your life, the friend side of your life, the church side of your life, the prayer life side of your life. We can kind of have all these little categories that are divided up. And usually what we hope is that our prayer life will affect all the other areas of our life. So then we pray about work. You know, if you're out of work, you're praying that God would give you a job, or you pray about school, or if your finances aren't great, you're praying, or maybe you're saying thanks to God for great finances, or if you're in a dating relationship, okay, God, help me know if this person is somebody I should keep dating, or, you know, extended family, friendships. Maybe you pray, you want to get to know God better. God, would you reveal yourself to me? I want to know you better, and the list goes on. So we expect that our prayer life is going to impact all the others areas of our life. But what might not be as clear to us is that our prayer life is also impacted by all the other areas of our life as well. So we tend to compartmentalize our life. But when God looks at us, when he sees us, he just sees one life and one person, and it's all connected. So here's what that means. It's not just that your prayers can impact your spouse. It's that how you treat your spouse can impact the power of your prayers. 1 Peter 3:7 says this, "In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard." That's pretty direct. I read it in the Greek and everything. I was like, I gotta be able to find a way to get around some of this. I love you, Allison, just so we're all clear. How we treat others, whether or not we obey God, matters when it comes to our prayers. And then James 5:16 says this, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." So when I feel stuck in my prayer life, one of the things I try to do is I try to remember the last thing the Lord asked me to do, and then I go back and do that thing. So maybe he asked me to do something, and I said, oh, I'm going to get to it later, or I don't want to do that, or I don't want to have to do that, and I just kind of set it aside. When I feel like, man, it just feels like I'm stuck in my prayer life. I'm not connecting the dots. I'm not seeing God answer any of these prayers affirmatively, positively. I'm not seeing any breakthrough. I say, okay, God, let me go back through my life. Where are you taking me, and just kind of as I think about it, where are you taking me to where maybe I just said no to that, I'm not going to obey you? You see, the cohesion between our life and our prayers is so important that when Jesus teaches us to pray, we are told to pray that our Father will forgive us our sins as we have forgiven others. Meaning, in the same degree that you have forgiven others, you are asking God the Father to forgive you to that same degree. I don't like that part of Jesus' prayer. It makes me nervous. But it also makes me take forgiveness more seriously. Harriet Tubman is a woman who helped me see what a prayer fully integrated into life looks like. She was born into slavery in 1820, but she made a daring escape as a 29-year-old woman. She then spent years rescuing hundreds out of slavery, leading them to safety. And listen how unified and integrated her prayer life was to her everyday activities. She was speaking to her biographer, and the biographer had asked about her prayer life. And this is what she said. I prayed all the time, she told the biographer, about my work everywhere. I was always talking to the Lord. When I went to the horse trough to wash my face and I took the water up in my hands, I would pray and say, oh, Lord, wash me and make me clean. When I took up the towel to wipe my face and my hands, I would cry, oh, Lord, for Jesus' sake, wipe all my sins away. When I took up the broom and began to sweep in the morning, I groaned, oh, Lord, whatever sin there be in my heart, sweep it out, Lord, clean and clear, even as I sweep out and clean and clear this room right now. There was complete integration in her prayer life and her everyday activity. She didn't have a prayer life over here and then the rest of her life that was disconnected. She didn't have a divided life. She had her life connected and integrated together. If you don't have your life integrated together, your prayer life will disintegrate. It will disintegrate with any power before God. The fourth obstacle is this: it's delays. We live in a culture that is prioritizing always the immediate. We want fast downloads, fast food, and we want fast tracks on our freeways. And we want our freeways to go fast, right? But all the convenience and speed can make it a challenge when it comes to our prayer life and when it comes to delays. But Colossians 4:2 says this: continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Luke tells us that one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. And here's the thing. Delays, when they come, they require discipline and commitment and sacrifice. Those are things that I don't naturally want to do. Now, maybe some of you are, I'm certain some of you are better at this than me, but others of you, I would guess you're like me. You don't naturally want to be disciplined and do sacrifice and commitment for long periods of time. And yet, the Bible gives us insights on why a prayer request might be delayed. In fact, gives us a bunch of different reasons, but one of them, for example, in the book of Daniel, Daniel once prayed and he had to wait 21 days for an answer to come, even though God heard him on the very first day of his prayer due to the spiritual warfare that was going on. We see that in Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. Sometimes what seems like a delay turns out to actually be better for us. Jesus tells us there's going to be times when we're just not going to understand. In John 13, 7, you don't realize now what I'm doing, but later on you will understand. Meaning after a little bit of a delay, after a little bit of time, as some more things unfold, you'll understand. God's timing is perfect, and of course delays are not denials, but they can challenge you in your perseverance in prayer if you didn't see an immediate answer. And of course, God is free to reveal that our request does not match his good and perfect will. But until that day is revealed to you, then the scriptures call us to persevere in prayer in the face of delays, to not assume that a delay is a denial or that God is saying no, that you're to continue to pray. On the second half of the trip, hopefully there'll be a picture that comes up here of a door. You see it there with a number painted on it, 1001. We were with Peter and Tammy Russell and the Maasai leaders in Tanzania at the Wild Hope Center, which is about 23 acres of land in Tanzania. At the front of the entrance of the land, there was a, it's really a gorgeous piece of land, but there was a building, and let's just say that it was less than gorgeous. But I noticed that it was this particular building, which was just kind of made out of sticks and mud and kind of a thatch roof. It had a big 1001 painted on the door. And that's when Peter told me this story. At that point in time, the land had been very rural, and it had been plotted out. And the Wild Hope Ministries purchased plot number one, this 23 acres of land. But then later, the army decided that they wanted all of the land in the valley to use it for their war games with their tanks and artilleries. So the army came along, and they painted 1001, which was a code that said, basically, okay, when we tear down this building and we take over this land, here's what we're going to, it's our code to know what we owe you in kind of restoration from taking the land. Well, they wanted to use it for their war games, and it was painted there, and so it wasn't just only the Wild Hope land, it was all the others who were beginning to build in that area as well, and so this became quite a thing, and And through much prayer, what looked like initially the army was just going to simply have the right to take it over, the situation was appealed all the way up the political ladder to the point where the president of Tanzania, as the chief of the armed forces, had to make the decision about who actually would get to have the land. Now imagine the amount of delay from the day the army shows up and paints 1001 on your door until it goes through all the appellate processes to get to the president of the country to make a decision. What I want you to hear there is not every prayer request is one where you pray in the morning and by the afternoon you have the answer. Sometimes you have to persevere through a lot of bureaucracy. You have to wait, and there's a lot of time that's going to unfold. And the question is, are you going to fold up in the face of the delays? Or, like Peter and Tammy and the other Maasai leaders, are you going to continue to pray in face of the delays until it's resolved? Don't give up. And so Peter and Tammy, they left this little hut with the door and the huge 1001 painted on it as a reminder of God's answer to their constancy in prayer. That they didn't quit praying while they were delayed and while they were waiting for months and months and months and months and months. I know many of you are prayerful. You're praying believing prayers. You're praying with a unified life that perseveres in prayer. If that's you, well done and keep going. But my guess would be that there are others of us who need to hear that the same God who answers prayer in Africa is also available to answer prayers right here in LA. So let me ask you, how are you doing? Is there grass growing on your prayer path? If so, then begin to make prayer once again your first response, not your last resort. Others of you, you're praying. There might be a few areas where you're going through the motion, not genuinely believing in faith that there will be a change or a breakthrough about the situation or area that you're praying about. And I want to encourage you, dig deep. Ask God to show you what is holding you back from believing prayer in that area. Or maybe you realize that there's other parts of your life that are hindering the power and effectiveness of your prayers. Maybe as you ask God about that, He'll begin to show you some relationships that you need to do some reparative work with them. You might have some relational work to do to strengthen your prayer life. You might need to ask for someone's forgiveness. You might need to confess a sin to God that you've been dabbling in. And still others, you need to grow in your perseverance. You need to pray through the delays. You know, when I was a youth pastor on the East Coast, I did a challenge with my students, and hundreds of students were involved in this, and this is what I said. I said, I tell you what, pick something that really matters to you and pray about it every single day for 6 months. And at the end of 6 months, if God hasn't come through in some tangible way that you can see some form of breakthrough, I'll give you $500 cash. I said that to hundreds of students. I was maybe going to be a bankrupt youth pastor. But I was counting on God to show up in story after story of answered prayers through the delays, through the constancy, through the perseverance. But there were also stories of people who dropped off. They didn't pray every day. In fact, some didn't even begin to pray every week, even though they had $500 waiting at the end of the 6 months. I had one guy, one kid, who said to me, I prayed every single day, Tom. You owe me $500. I prayed that my dad would come to know the Lord, and he has not come to know the Lord. You owe me $500. And I tried to weasel out of it a little bit, if I'm honest. I was like, were you sure it was every day? Like, you didn't even miss like a Saturday or anything? No, it was every day. So I gave him $500 cash. And I said, well, I'm going to be praying for your dad. Fast forward the story about maybe 3 years ago, I go back to Charleston, South Carolina. I'm visiting him. He's now a mid-30-something young adult. His dad stops by. I start talking to him a little bit, and I said, hey, something's different about you. Something's different. I said, did you come to know Christ? And he was like, yeah, I came to know Christ. And I turned to Brian. I said, well, Brian, I think you owe me $500 back. And he said, no, statute of limitations. You said 6 months, and so Brian kept the $500. But what matters is this, is that Brian was only one out of the hundreds of students who would stick with it. Will you stick with your prayers? Will you persevere praying believing prayers in an undivided life, trusting that God is not just the God who answers prayers about land in Africa. He's the God who answers prayer, even here, even now. So let's pray. God, we do. We pray now. Would you help us, God? Maybe you just need to say, God, give me faith to pray again. Pray for the first time. Pray a believing prayer. Ask God for that. What do you want to pray and ask God for? What do you want to say to him? Maybe as we talk about the fact that prayer is not a divided, separate section from your life, maybe there's someone you need to ask forgiveness from or confess a sin to. Maybe there's been a delay and that's caused you to back off of prayer and you're not praying with perseverance. I want to encourage you, continue to pray. And so, Lord, even now, we pray for those on our right and on our left. Whatever they're facing, Lord, we pray for them that you would bring answers and breakthrough in their prayers. We pray for our country. Your word tells us to pray for that. We pray for our leaders, Lord, political and otherwise, Lord. We pray, God, that you would lead them and give them wisdom. Lord, we pray for our city and our neighborhood, our schools and our workplaces. Would your kingdom come? Would your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? We pray for our families, our friendships, our finances, and we pray for our relationship with you. Grow us deeper in prayer that we could build a loving, growing relationship with you, trusting you each day of our life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.